Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Inconvenient Child by Lindsay Lewis with Sharon Killens is a confronting memoir and life story centered on Killens' childhood and young adulthood in post-war Australia. The book traces her early abandonment, years spent in unstable care arrangements, and the damaging effects of institutional and family cruelty. It also follows her struggle to make sense of her identity as a mixed-race child in a society shaped by narrow racial attitudes and stigma. Alongside survival, the narrative highlights ambition and endurance, particularly the way music and performance become a source of focus and self-worth. A major through line is Killens' determination to uncover the truth about her African-American father, a subject surrounded by secrecy and denial, and to pursue connection with her wider roots. Written as an unvarnished account rather than a polished celebrity memoir, the book's purpose is both personal and social to document what happened, to show its long tail across a lifetime, and to make visible experiences often overlooked in official histories. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, abandonment and the lifelong imprint of early neglect. A central topic is the destabilizing impact of being unwanted, moved, and treated as a problem rather than a child. The memoir begins with abandonment and early care arrangements that fail to provide consistent safety, attachment, or protection. Instead of a dependable adult world, the narrator encounters environments where basic needs and emotional security are uncertain. The book shows how early neglect does not remain in the past as a single event, but becomes a framework that shapes later decisions, relationships, and self-perception. As the story progresses, the pattern of adults withholding care or clarity becomes part of the psychological terrain the author must navigate. This thread helps explain later turbulence without excusing harm or reducing the narrator to a stereotype, by keeping the focus on concrete experiences of rejection. The memoir highlights how a child can internalize shame and vigilance, then carry those survival strategies into adolescence and adulthood. The result is a portrait of resilience that is not romanticized survival, is shown as costly, demanding, and often lonely, especially when no stable family narrative exists to anchor identity and belonging. Secondly, racism, secrecy, and identity in a white-dominated social world. The memoir places personal suffering inside a broader social atmosphere of racial stigma and exclusion. As a mixed-race child in predominantly white settings, Killens confronts prejudice in everyday interactions and within family dynamics. The story emphasizes that discrimination is not only public but private. It can appear as silence, denial, and pressure to hide the truth. A particularly painful dimension is the secrecy around her father's identity, which becomes symbolic of how institutions and families can treat race as a threat to reputation rather than a fact of a child's life. The book uses this secrecy to show how identity can be fractured when essential information is withheld and when a child is made to feel that part of themselves is unacceptable. In doing so, the narrative also functions as social testimony about the ways attitudes toward interracial relationships and mixed-race children shape life chances, safety, and dignity. Without turning into a policy study, the memoir links racism to tangible outcomes, vulnerability and care, reduced protection, and repeated messaging that the narrator must earn acceptance. The search for truth becomes, therefore, not only genealogical but psychological and moral. Thirdly, institutional harm and the failures of child protection. Another major topic is the damage inflicted by institutions that claim to provide care or correction. The memoir describes time spent in a convent orphanage, and later encounters with juvenile detention systems, depicting them as environments where power is uneven and abuse can flourish, rather than presenting cruelty as an exception. The book suggests a pattern of institutional failure. Children who are already vulnerable can be further harmed by the very structures meant to protect them. The narrative focuses on lived reality, fear, punishment, and the emotional consequences of being disbelieved or treated as disposable. Importantly, the memoir does not rely on abstract condemnation alone. It highlights how institutional settings can normalize harshness, create a culture of silence, and isolate children from advocates. This theme also connects to the title, because the child becomes inconvenient to adults and systems that prioritize order, reputation, or efficiency over welfare. By documenting these experiences, the book aligns with broader memoir traditions that bring hidden histories into public view, particularly stories of children who endured neglect and mistreatment in formal care. The reader is left with an understanding that survival required constant adaptation, not only to family instability, but to official environments where help could turn into harm. Fourthly, adolescence, displacement, and survival in King's Cross. The memoir follows the narrator into adolescence as she runs from unsafe or intolerable conditions and ends up exposed to adult worlds too early. Sydney and King's Cross appear as settings associated with both danger and a kind of harsh visibility, a place where a young person could be exploited, judged, or criminalized, yet also find fleeting community or the possibility of reinvention. The book frames these years as shaped by earlier abandonment and institutional trauma, showing how a teenager with limited protection can be pushed toward risk simply to stay alive, be seen, or feel some measure of control. Encounters with police and detention deepen the sense that the system responds to troubled children with punishment rather than care. This part of the narrative also underscores the memoir's refusal to sanitize. It portrays how quickly a vulnerable young person can become entangled in environments that magnify harm, especially when family support is absent and identity is contested. At the same time, the story emphasizes agency in small but meaningful ways, choosing to leave, choosing to endure, choosing to keep moving. King's Cross becomes less a backdrop for glamour than a lens on survival, social neglect, and the thin line between coping and collapse. Lastly, Music, Self-Making, and the Quest to Find Her Father, running alongside the trauma, is a narrative of drive and self-reconstruction. Music and performance are presented as a refuge and a pathway to identity that does not depend on others granting permission. The memoir suggests that creative ambition can function as both coping strategy and life raft, a way to build discipline, self-worth, and a future orientation when the past feels chaotic. This thread matters because it prevents the story from being only a catalog of suffering. It shows an inner life that reaches for excellence, recognition, and belonging on terms the narrator can influence. The other major arc is the determination to uncover and connect with her African-American father and extended roots. The search is portrayed as emotionally charged because it involves confronting family secrets, overcoming obstacles created by silence, and filling gaps in personal history. The memoir treats this pursuit as more than a reunion plot. It is a claim to wholeness, knowing one's origins, rejecting imposed shame, and seeking relationships grounded in truth. Together, Music and The Search for Family show two forms of repair: building a self through talent and work, and healing identity through knowledge and connection. In conclusion, The Inconvenient Child will resonate most with readers of survival memoirs, social history through personal testimony, and narratives about identity shaped by race, secrecy, and institutional power. It is also relevant for those interested in how childhood experiences echo into adolescence and adulthood, especially when care systems and families fail to protect a child. The practical benefit is not a set of easy steps, but a sharper understanding of trauma and resilience, how people endure, what they lose along the way, and what forms of purpose can help them rebuild. The intellectual value lies in the book's ability to connect one life to broader social realities, including racial stigma and the vulnerability of children placed in institutions or left without stable advocates. Compared with many memoirs that focus on later fame or tidy redemption, this book stands out for its insistence on the unglamorous middle, the messy years of running, surviving, and searching. Its emphasis on a real quest for origins, particularly the need to identify and connect with an African-American father, gives the story a clear narrative engine while keeping the moral center on dignity and truth. Readers should expect emotionally difficult material, but also a sustained portrait of determination, creativity, and the long work of reclaiming identity. If you would like to support Lindsay Lewis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.